Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
And I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And it's the 13th of August.
Yep, 13th of August. And I am back from the Neverland.
Well, you didn't actually go to the Netherlands.
No, I didn't. I did stop in London for a day, which was nice, and had the opportunity to do a nice food tour there. This trip of mine, this particular year, this particular trip was one of the most decadent and gluttonous trips that I've ever done.
That should increase donations.
At the last day, I said, you know what? I give in. I'm done. I can't do it anymore. You know, and I'll tell you a little bit why if you want to hear about it. But
did you gain weight?
Yes. I think I must have gained about 10 pounds. Seriously.
Wow.
I'm telling you, it was ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. From the start to the finish, where I flew Virgin, upper class. So get to the first... In Miami, they didn't have much going on in Miami. Get to Heathrow, and they had we get off there. We go on a food tour. We have some just amazing food, which I've never been to the east side of London. So it was incredible. The best chicken tikka masala in the Bangladesh district that I've ever had.
Okay.
Unbelievable. Bacon sandwiches.
Chicken marsalas did you have in the Bangladesh district?
I've never had it. I've never been in the Bangladesh district before. So it was good. And then hop over to the next flight from London to Johannesburg and went to the upper class lounge of Virgin in the Heathrow Airport. Oh, my. So I was really not feeling so. I should take a shower or something, but I didn't want to take a shower in the airport, you know? In the upper class lounge at Virgin, the bathroom area, my own bathroom and steam room. Okay. Then, just for the hell of it, they threw in, I got a facial. All included.
What?
I'm telling you, I got a facial. I could have got a haircut. It's all free.
You can get a haircut just playing the market.
Yeah. Then I went down. Anyway, there was a lot going on. Then I went down to Cape Town, went to several different places there. Went to my friend's vineyard, and he knew everybody. He's the largest distributor of wines in South Africa. So he knew everybody in the Cape Town Robertson area. So we went to six different vineyards. I had six different wine tastings, two different gin tastings, two different, beer flights, craft beer tastings just to start. Then I went downhill from there. Went downhill, man. Food was out of control. We get to I'm just going to fast forward you to the safari. We get to the safari grounds, and they upgrade us to the owner's house, which is a three-bedroom ensuite house with a secondary house with two more bedrooms for the four of us. I have my own bartender, my own staff, six-person staff, my own private chef for the whole stay. This is unbelievable.
It sounds like you should have stayed there.
Oh, it was unbelievable. Every time we walked somewhere and did something, we had drinks. They'd have drinks for us the way we wanted it. Any food I wanted, I said, okay, you know, I want, can I get some warthog? Yes, we'll have that on the menu for you tomorrow night. Okay. This just went on and on like this.
Well, they definitely have the variety of meats that's pretty exceptional down there.
I made a list of the meats I ate. Do you want to hear?
Yeah, I'll tell you if I've had them.
Let's see. I had... Well, the first thing is I had a braai, which is a barbecue style thing. My friend has a barbecue center in his living room. I can't even explain it to you. It was unbelievable. Then I had kudu, springbok, wildebeest.
Yeah, I never had that.
How's he say it? Gensbok, warthog, sheep, pork ribs, and a fish that I like called kingklip.
You never had any elephant or zebra?
No, we didn't have any of that. No, they said it wasn't good. I had a lot of biltong, which is their version of jerky.
Did you have any alligator? Alligator is good.
Crocodile, I asked for it. They didn't, for whatever reason, maybe it was because it was wintertime or something. It was very much out of.
What about ostrich?
I had ostrich. That was excellent. But the wildebeest was the best. No wonder why those lions like it so much.
Yeah.
Anyway, back here, a couple of things we'll start the show with. My vacation indicator is spot on once again. Anytime I seem to leave town, the markets go haywire. China news, meetings on again, off again, on again, off again. Global PMIs are still shrinking. The VIX jumped to 25 when I was gone. And remember we talked about how the VIX would be a good deal before I left?
Yeah.
Yep, there you go. It was a really good deal.
Yeah, no kidding.
So we have some massive volatility. The markets are getting moved around on a lot of headlines. A lot of stocks got crushed pretty hard in the area. Anything that was related to trade wars or trade or China or whatever, between what went on in China over the week, what went on in Argentina, and in Europe, it was just a rough week, wasn't it? Rough week and a half.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah, it was fun. So we got that going on. The recession indicators are flashing warning signs. We got the tightest 2-year, 10-year spread that we've seen in a long time. So there's a lot of concern about that. Bond yields dropped incredibly over the last week. 10-year was like 2.2. It went to 1.6.
It's unbelievable.
Unbelievable. So that's a big concern for markets. You know, markets like it when interest rates go down and when the Fed is dropping rates, but when they drop too hard, markets freak out. So we saw that the Argentinian markets sold off 48% at the low yesterday. One day.
Did you see that coming?
No. That was on an election deal.
Did anybody see it coming?
I don't think so. If they did, it would have dropped it by 48% in one day. The currency was down like 13%. There was an election that was, it wasn't the final election, but it was part of the election. And the guy that was got the election results in his favor was not as, I guess, business oriented. And markets just freaked out. Totally freaked out. So that's the worst one day move in like 50 years. It's like a 10 sigma event or something crazy.
I think these countries are going to have to come to the realization, and parties included, that you're going to put yourself into a real jam if you don't put somebody in office nowadays who is very business oriented.
Yeah, not just a politician.
Right.
But the old days of being,
which I think is why our economy has done so well with Trump, it's just by accident. Because nobody else was. I mean, Obama wasn't business guy in the least. He didn't know what was going on. Hillary wouldn't have been. She's never run a business. And yes, you call their global fund or something. It's not really a business.
And the people that want to balance the budget and want to bring down debt are like, they're shunned.
Yeah, they are.
Right?
Well, yeah, that's kind of new.
It was this point where it was like, okay, they're going to bring the economy. You know, if you have a guy, a CEO or a gal CFO or somebody that's in a company, they're like, okay, we're going to really make the balance sheet much stronger, less debt, clean it all up, get rid of the high yielding debt. We're going to make, everybody likes that. That's a good business. That's a very good business decision. But now you have a situation where it's like, screw that. Let's just take on as much debt as we can. Bring the currencies down as low as possible. This is that modern monetary theory we've talked about. That's what it is.
It's part of it.
Yeah. And then we saw...
You know, I've been looking into that quite a bit.
And?
Well, the people who describe it, because one of the reasons that the lefties like to promote this modern monetary theory is because they know they can't get socialism in, which would just ruin everything, for the whole world would collapse, is that they think that, you know, they can use this to shrink the wealth gap. Modern monetary theory can shrink the wealth gap, and they have some way of doing it using that idea. But when they start talking about shrinking the wealth gap, you start to hear things like, you know, the wealth gap was, in fact, shrinking until Reagan got in office in 1980. And I started looking at thinking about it. Yeah, because in between 1970 and 1980, we're in something of a depression. And when the whole economy is about to fall apart and 20% interest rates, sure, the wealth gap. So the wealth gap will shrink, which is saying that the only way you're going to get it to shrink is to collapse the economy.
Well, it's the Robin Hood, right? It's not so much benefiting those that don't have, but hurting those that have. Right?
That's what it amounts to.
I mean, back in the day with Reagan, it was all about the trickle down economic process where, listen, if the rich get richer, it's going to, you know, give the people down the rung some money.
I think that was a cliched meme. I mean, what had really happened with Reagan was they switched the supply side economics and Milton Friedman was kind of calling the shots.
Yep.
And that was and they call it everything that the Republicans do is always called trickle down by the Democrats always say that. Oh, it's trickle down. it's bull crap.
That's how Democrats talk too. They have that nasally, obnoxious, annoying. Yeah.
And like Birdie.
Yeah. one of the things that happened today was the markets turned around. They were down earlier in the day. Yesterday was down like 400 points on the Dow. Markets started down the day today. I saw the Dow futures were off by close to about 100 points right before the open. And then all of a sudden it started moving. And I'm like, hey, what's going on there? And I noticed that there was some commentary about there was going to be some a meeting in September with the China faction and the U.S. faction of the trade negotiators, and that kind of moved things. And all of a sudden, things started really moving today. And the reason, President Trump said, you know, what we're going to do is we're going to take these tariffs that I said are going to go into effect September 1st, the extra 10% on pretty much all of the remaining goods that are imported into the United States, and we're going to postpone that a little bit till December or so. And the reason why was, well, let's not tariff these things that may cause some disruption in the holiday buying area. So, you know, some technology, some retail, a whole host of things that would be holiday oriented. Now, I started thinking about that. That makes sense. If, in fact, we all agreed that the consumer was going to be paying the tariffs. But President Trump says, no, China's paying it, right? So if China's paying it, what do we care if, in fact, the tariffs will be postponed on part of this? You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah, I can follow it. I don't. The logic is kind of elusive.
Elusive. It's ridiculous and stupid.
Well, that too.
I mean, you got a situation where you say, on one hand, you know, consumers aren't paying it, but you know what? We need to alleviate some of this so that consumers don't get taken down and have to pay more money during the holiday season, which is the biggest spending time for many of these things throughout the year. And all these companies that would be hurt by this wouldn't be, even though they're not paying for it, supposedly, because the Chinese are paying for it. The whole thing is, it's a disaster. I've said it from the day I heard the word that tariffs were going on, and I will not let up on this. Tariffs are an absolute destructive mechanism involved in any economy. Well, I don't care why you're doing it. They're destructive. Now, if maybe somehow in the end we get a better deal because, yes, we're putting pressure on them, wrecking their economy, and we'll go down a little bit with it too, but in the end we'll get our intellectual property in better shape and not stolen and we'll have a better trade deal eventually, okay. But during the process, there's going to be some pain. And as Forrest Gump would say, that's all I have to say about that.
All right.
CPI, inflation. We saw a number today come out that we had a robust pace in July. And there's a little chart there. You can see this over on DH Unplugged, episode number 468. Episode 468. And this is the latest inflation trends, both on CPI and PPI. And the chart, you'll notice the little red line there.
Yeah.
So we're over the 2% year-over-year inflation number. which may put a little crimp in the idea the Fed is going to be very nice with a lot more rate declines and rate decreases. Because now we're starting to see this inflation kick up. Still not terrible.
Yeah, give it a couple more months.
I mean, we saw, where was that? Back in... So we're over the top right now from where we were back in, what, May of 18, right? May and July? See that?
That would be where, if it goes above that, which is up there about 2.3 or 4.
2.4,
let's say. Or 2.35 is what it looks like. Yeah, then they're going to just, but I don't know. Let's give it two more months. I mean, it could drop.
I would be surprised if it drops. I think now we're starting to get into that line. That's why tips have done so well. Gold is on fire. That's why we're seeing the continuation of this weird inverted yield curve and about to get even worse. It's going to get much worse. I'm telling you. I got some links there. We don't have to look this now, but this is the newest and latest update on the tariffs on what goods will now be affected as of September 1st, 2019 at the 10% level, and those goods that are postponed until December 15th. I wonder why they chose December 15th. Let's think about that. Is there some rationale there?
I'm sure there is. If we look at these lists, we can figure it out.
I mean, they have things like, okay, I'm going to open up one of these lists because there's some really weird things. I'm going to open the December 15th one.
This list goes on for miles.
Right. But look at some of the things on here.
Tulip bulbs dormant, hyacinth bulbs dormant, lily bulbs. This is put together by a real bureaucrat. How many pages is this? This is for just one. This is the first round of tariffs. It's 122 pages of single-spaced this and that.
Right. And then you have the one for December 15th that starts with, here's the list. This is how granular this gets. The one product that's being postponed, and I'm not sure how they picked this as one of the items, is frozen Alaska pollock fillets, skinned in blocks weighing over 4.5 kilograms to be minced, ground, or cut.
These are the tariffs coming in?
These are tariffs that will come in.
The Chinese send us this stuff?
I guess they're sending us Alaska pollock. Yeah, I guess in bulk containers.
How does that work?
I guess they get it from Alaska and then they...
Here's a couple of interesting ones at the end, which is really goes against most of our theses, the way we look at things in the United States, especially when it comes to importing things. There's an item number and its subheading is original engravings, prints, and lithographs, whether or not framed. Original sculptures, postage or revenue stamps, collector's pieces of botanicals, like a stuffed animal. Antiquities of age exceeding 100 years are going to tax that. They've never taxed that in the history of this country that I know of. That's one of the things I always tell people. You know, if you go and pick up some oil paintings over there in China, you can just wrap them up and bring them in, and they come in duty free. Because we don't normally charge anything that's handmade, like a rug or a painting. And if it's an old antique, that generally comes in too, because the thinking is that adds to the net worth of the country as a whole.
They're going to be putting a tax on December 15th. They postponed this one for magic tricks and practical joke articles, badminton rackets and parts, nets, snowshoes, whisk brooms, paint rollers. This is the craziest list I've ever seen. Smoking pipe, cigarette or cigar holders of metal, parts of metal for smoking pipes and bowls or for cigar or cigarette holders. Then they got a whole list of different kinds of combs. Hard rubber, valued.
It's like something the EU would produce.
How crazy is this? Can you imagine if you're in charge of this list?
How long is the second list? I haven't opened it up.
21 pages.
Only 21?
Yeah.
Well, the first one's 120-something.
It just goes on and on. It just goes on and on. Table knives, zinc household items. I don't know if there's anything. Footwear. The footwear is just enormous. Silk shirts.
I don't know about you, but, you know, Chinese-made shoes don't fit right.
pantyhose, non-surgical. Ice hockey and field hockey gloves. It's unbelievable. I guess you have to have this kind of list, obviously, because when you bring something in, you have to know what it is. Like, you need to know this is a knitted or crocheted looped pile fabric of man-made fibers. Cut corduroy of man-made fibers. Anybody buying corduroy anymore?
Corduroy still comes around. I mean, it's not the cool corduroy we used to have in the 60s. But, yeah, it's, people still buy corduroy.
Heads, tails, paws. Shirt. That's quite interesting. Heads, tails, paws. Or cutting of raw fur skin suitable for furrier's use. Chopsticks of bamboo. Yeah, it just goes on. Anyway, I put these links.
Yeah, this will keep you busy for hours. Hours.
And every one of them is almost laughable. It's like, what is that? Where's that come from? So, I just want to mention one last thing on the wines from the vacation. You told me to try the Pinotage, right?
Among the other things.
You know, the Pinotage there is like a Beaujolais Nouveau. It's like a 2018. Almost all of them. They're very good, but they're light.
What was the good wine you had?
I like the Pinotage. I had a, I had the Retief, which is my friend's last name. It's kind of weird that your friend's last name is on the bottle. I had the Retief. It was a, what was it now? It was a Cabernet something. It was like a mix. It was a something blend. I thought was really good.
That's useful.
I had one wine I bought. I was in a cellar. And we were tasting it, and there was one wine in the corner. I'm like, what is that bottle over there? What are those bottles? Oh, there's only 200 of those bottles left. They've been aged 22 years, or special edition. I said, well, can we taste that? No, it's only for sale. I said, how much is it? $50. I said, well, $50 is, for them, for there, it's expensive. It's like four times the price it would normally be. So I'm like, oh, I'll buy that. So we bought it, we drank it, we put it back in the bottle. It was terrible.
I don't know. No good.
Yeah, it wasn't bad and burnt. It was just not a good wine.
Yeah, there's a lot of not a good wines in South Africa.
Yeah, that was one of them. But most of the wines are so cheap. They're like $8 a bottle for the Pinotage.
You still can't beat Portugal. They got cheaper wines in South Africa and better quality.
Yeah, it was good.
Go there.
It was drinkable. In the markets, Beyond Meat, we were a little bit, just a tad bit early in that short. They priced a secondary offering last week at $160 when the stock was trading at like 190. So stock's down at about 165 now, still above the secondary price.
Yeah, it's going to be down to $50. It better be.
I was out to dinner tonight.
The meat product. I mean, come on.
Yeah. I
publicly traded $200 stock that sells ground up peas.
Peas. Mush peas. I was at dinner tonight and somebody ordered an impossible burger. And it got to the table and it looked like a slab of fried yams.
The impossible burger apparently is selling like hotcakes at Burger King as the impossible Whopper.
Yeah, it is. I've tasted it. It's average at best. It's not meat.
I can't imagine it being any good at all. Nope. I'm surprised you could choke it down.
I cut it up into fours. I ate a fourth of it, and I said, a quarter of it. And I said, that's it. That's enough. It was a taste testing. Now, you know how I find this to be a fascinating story. Do you know how the big thing in software is software as a service? Or better yet, said another way, in simple English, the way we see it these days, is a subscription service to a variety of things like Windows. You don't buy the Windows anymore. You pay a subscription and annual updates and monthly updates. And Adobe has this and whatever it is, you have these things. Nobody's really, getting a CD anymore, installing it, and you have it for the next 5 years until you can't take it anymore. Now it's kind of on this whole update process and you pay on a regular basis, right? That's how it works?
Pretty much.
And I like it. I like that process, by the way.
I like it and don't like it, but go on.
All right. Well, the next subscription, or maybe we'll call it sneakers as a service, is something from Nike. They're launching.
Oh, yeah. I heard about this. This is the dumbest thing ever.
How weird is this? And they're doing it for another. They're almost doing it in a way because they want to get the kids hooked. on continually upgrading their sneakers. So Nike is going to be launching a new subscription service for kids that seeks to woo parents with an offer of fewer nightmarish trips to the shoe store. Now, this is obviously written by someone at Nike. Make it sound like it's such a horrific event to go buy shoes. So what they're going to do is they're going to be able to exchange for a regular fee and consistent brand loyalty, the ability to, I guess, be involved in this Adventure Club, which is an app, and is going to notify shoppers every time it launches a new shoe or has an exclusive sneaker at a nearby store. And it's some kind of a service that they're going to be doing. I don't know if they're going to actually be...
Sounds convoluted.
I don't know if you're going to be paying... Do you pay like $25 a month for the right to buy sneakers three times a year?
I don't know if they've come to the pricing, maybe pricing firm yet. There's probably, I would guess that the pricing's not firm yet. There'll be tiered service. So you can do so much a month and get certain kinds of shoes. You do so much a little more and you get some more exclusivity or more shoes, who knows, stuff like that. And to try to move everybody, because once you do that sort of model, you can push them up to the next level, especially if they're stupid enough to buy into this idea in the first place.
This is a ridiculous idea. I mean, but it's natural for almost everything we do. You buy a house on a subscription in a way because you're paying a monthly payment. Your car, your software now, your phone, everything is kind of like
see,
that.
My recent thinking is I don't own any cars that I don't own. If I'm going to buy a car, I'm buying the car cash.
Yeah, but you're the minority. Not everybody does that.
They should.
Well, they should, but you know what? If you only have, let's just say, $20,000 to buy a car, or you say, I got $450 a month and I could buy a car, and that car is valued at $50,000, not realizing that you're underwater and you'll never get any money out of it, and it's a losing proposition.
And you're going to drop like 50 plus thousand into it.
Yeah. I mean, I like the sneakers to become much more popular because, you know, it used to be you'd have to wear...
Maybe this is the sneakers jumping the shark, let's hope.
Oh, maybe. I mean, does everybody wear the same... Once you get hooked on a particular brand, I mean, I wear a particular brand because it's not because I like the shoe, the look, or it has lights or anything fancy, but because they come in wide sizes. So I wear New Balance sneakers. Nike doesn't have
good
wide
product.
Yeah. They fit. They feel comfortable.
I've felt the same way about these things. I only have a few brands that I can wear because they're comfortable. I don't think Nike's is not comfortable. I don't like them. I like Reeboks. I like Pumas. I like Skechers.
Oh, you like Skechers, huh?
I do like Skechers. They get the memory foam. They're dynamite. They're also dirt cheap, and they look pretty decent.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll see how this goes. It's going to be interesting to watch the sneaker subscription revolution. And then possibly they're going to probably end. I bet you they're going to be like, oh, hey, I'll trade you. I mean, that goes on now. There's a bunch of places where you can go and trade sneakers and buy them as you would.
Market. It's a market.
I mean, maybe they laughed at people with stamp collecting years ago. You seem like you would have been a stamp collector.
Totally.
Right. I'm telling you, I just feel it from knowing you that you were a stamp collector and coins.
Yeah. Not coins so much, but I did collect coins. I do have a little coin collection, but I couldn't get into it like stamps. Stamps were easier and more fun.
You would go to the post office and wait in line?
No, I never did that, but I did. There used to be a stamp. The Oakland Tribune for kids used to have a stamp club.
Oh.
And you join the stamp club and you get some stamps. Every month you get a little set of stamps. And it was cool. The newspapers were more involved in the life of kids back in the day.
Did you, I can see this too, little John C. Dvorak, you had a magnifying glass too. So you could
Who
see.
Who didn't?
How else did I knew
you
catch it. I knew
ants
it.
On fire.
You did it. You had it. You had to look at all the stamps and make sure, you know, see if there's any.
Oh, no, you didn't have to. Well, maybe. Nowadays, I know better. Use a jeweler's thing.
Yeah. Oh, the jeweler's loop. Yeah.
A loop.
You look so fancy with those too. You, the ones you hang around your neck?
No, I don't have those.
Oh. Tumblr, which is Tumblr. That's the pornographic website that's trying to not be pornographic website, right? Isn't that Tumblr?
That's one way of putting it.
Verizon Communications is going to be selling it to Automatic.
They just bought it.
They're selling it to Automatic, the owner of the popular online publishing tool for WordPress.com.
I'm sorry?
Yep. Automatic.
No, now what? Tell me this again.
Okay. Verizon, who owns Tumblr, right? They recently bought Tumblr.
Yeah, stupidly.
They're selling it to Automatic. Automatic is the company that owns WordPress.
WordPress or WordPress.com? I think they're separate.
WordPress.com, but it's still the same. It's definitely separate, but I'm pretty sure that WordPress.com is I'm pretty sure it's the same company somehow.
Well, they definitely have the same underlying software.
Right. So, because you could set up a WordPress.com website, a WordPress website on WordPress.com, or have your own. Install it on your own server. It's open source. So they're buying
right.
So I don't know why they're buying it, unless it's a fire sale.
Well, maybe there's the customer base or something, because it is a blogging. It's like a lousy blogging platform. I mean, you can go open a Reddit account, or not Reddit, but what is it called?
Tumblr?
I've already forgotten. Reddit came out of my head. Tumblr account. You can take just get an account, and then you can set up a cheesy blog. And it's not very, you know, it's just cheesy. And there's some things you can do where you have a lot of photos or something. It's kind of like Pinterest in the way you can do some displays. But generally speaking, it's kind of half-assed.
Is it like just your own personal Twitter account?
No, not at all.
With expanded?
I don't think so. I would never call it that.
No? Okay.
But what I would say is that if you got into it to the point where you have a nice, you know, nice website of sorts, it's more like MySpace kind of quality, the newer version. And I can see you want to maybe migrate them off that thing and then get them to get on the WordPress system and then maybe get them on a subscription.
Well, is there a subscription? Because I don't ever remember paying
WordPress,
a dime
no.
to WordPress.
If you want to be a big shot on the WordPress site, WordPress.com, you can use your own domain name. You can do the whole thing and you can put your site there. But if your traffic is too professional, in other words, you get too many people or you have a lot of bandwidth use or you have a lot of photos or whatever, you have to pay a fee.
Well, we use WordPress for our back end.
Well, we apparently have not broken bank.
On our own servers.
Well, you use WordPress, the software.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's different.
Yeah. Okay. We'll see what the deal does. There's no disclosure of the terms, which is probably, there'll be disclosure eventually because
I'm surprised these guys haven't, the government hasn't come after the Tumblr, the entire Tumblr database and arrested people. There's illegal pornography on Tumblr, I can assure you.
Yeah. I've never, honest, and I'm not just saying this, I don't recall ever knowingly been on Tumblr searching for something. I mean, I may have been pushed there by somebody that said, check this out or something like that, maybe, but I've never gone like too,
Well, it can get pretty gross.
Yeah.
And I'm stunned that it was even bought by Yahoo in the first place. And this, I'm just stunned that the whole thing is just cranked going from here to there to here. And without having an audit by the government into the back end photos and finding a bunch of horrible, illegal child porn and other things like that. I'm sure it's there. Bestiality, I'm sure, lurks on Tumblr.
Oh, all right. Let's get away from this topic. It's repulsive.
It is.
Repulsive. Getting back to the Argentinian election, just to give some color and some filler on what happened there. There was a surprise vote. A surprise outcome of a vote, and the Merval index plunged 48% in dollar terms. So it was down really maybe 33% on the day. And it was the second biggest one-day drop of any of the 94 stock exchanges tracked by Bloomberg going back to the 50s. Sri Lanka tumbled more than 60% in June 1989 as the nation was engulfed in a civil war. So... Huh. Just a thought. I'm not sure where this is going, but there is an ETF that tracks relatively closely the Argentinian Merval Index. Well,
you think this is, we should put this on the game and go long?
Possibly.
I'm putting it on.
ARGT. So just remember that there. ARGT. Yeah. Actually, I'll copy that now so I can paste that after maybe. Okay. Air Force One. You know, the two new twin jets that are going to be are being put together right now. If you remember when President Trump came into office, he was like, oh, my God, the cost on this is ridiculous. Forget about it. Cancel the order. Remember that whole thing?
Yes.
There's a Boeing 747, and it was being modified. And that was going to be about $4 billion for those two planes. It's now overrun by $1.2 billion.
I thought the Boeing came back, and this is the way I remember the story. Trump made a fuss.
Yeah.
Boeing came back with a better deal.
Yeah.
And Trump said, okay, we'll do that.
Right.
And now, so they're beyond the first deal. They've overrun the first deal price.
Yeah. The total cost now is $1.2 billion more than the original price he complained about.
Oh, my God.
But that's the play. That's the play.
Yeah, it is the place. What everybody does. That's why you have to can't trust the contractor.
You can't trust the contractor. And also, Trump said, I'm going to get a better deal. It's all you remember that he got a better deal because he said he did.
Well, the original deal probably would have run over even more. Who knows?
Right. Well, this is $1.2 billion over the original price that he complained about.
Yeah, so.
It's over the top, over the top.
Unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's finally happening. U.S. package delivery company FedEx is now terminating its contract at the end of this month for small ground packages delivered by or from Amazon. And this is 2 months after they decided not to renew a contract with Amazon for U.S. cargo delivery through its plane-based express service. So they're out of that, and they're going to be out of this other package delivery service as well. For small package ground. And obviously...
The whole ground business? Because they have those little trucks that say ground, FedEx ground and green.
Well, they may still
have... Those are done?
Well, they may have that, but they're not going to do it for Amazon. Mm-hmm. So I...
Well, I don't know why anyone would use them at all.
Well, they're so expensive, but Amazon obviously ate those costs, but Amazon figured, you know what the hell, we'll just do our own. You see the Amazon trucks or the... Now they have these blank trucks, right? They have these Mercedes... What do you call those? Step vans?
Yeah, I've seen those around.
Some say Amazon, some don't.
The worst. These delivery guys stink.
I've been getting deliveries by people that are obviously Uber Eats drivers or something.
Yeah.
I mean, they come to my house on next day delivery in a car, which is always a Toyota Corolla for some reason. Uber is always a Toyota Corolla. And they just deliver to you. They go and they open their trunk up. They bring it to the door and it's like, okay, thank you. They don't have a uniform on or anything like that. They just, here's your package. I'm like, oh, thank you.
Yeah, it's like China.
Yeah. It's really kind of, yeah. Next is you're going to have probably people on scooters and with backpacks.
Yeah. Dropping something off. Yeah. Or just tossing it up the driver like it's a newspaper. That's what I've been getting.
Washington is now decrying that Beijing is a currency manipulator.
And this is news to them?
It's news because if you remember, before Mnuchin, there was whoever it was, and it was Paulson, and there was, remember all these people that were Treasury secretaries? And they always seemed to carry around in their suit pocket, on the inside of their suit pocket, the breast pocket, the letter. The letter that they're not going to show anybody, but they have plans that if China does start moving their currencies, they're going to label them a currency manipulator. So don't do it. And I guess finally they pulled it out. It's the first time since 1994.
Huh. Yeah, I vaguely remember that little thing in the pocket.
Remember that? It's right here. Letters right here. We're not going to use it unless we have to. Because it does do something with... There's something when you label somebody as a currency manipulator, it can go to the courts next, I guess, and the trade commissions.
Must have something to do with the WTO.
Exactly. It does. And then there's some kind of investigations. But I don't know how you do that. Every country, every single country is a currency manipulator in one way or another. Right?
Look at Japan.
Yeah, the ultimate currency manipulator. I never understood why we didn't nail them on that.
We liked it. We liked buying them Toyotas and Lexuses.
Yep, Lexi. Hong Kong has a lot of protests going on there. I mean, you see what's going on there?
Yes, the airports. We've been following that very carefully on the No Agenda show every Thursday.
Yeah, so what's the story? Where's this going?
It's going in one of two directions, according to everybody who's over there that has any input. It's either going to be, they're going to fire the woman who's the CEO that's running the colony, one-time colony. Fire her and pull the extradition laws off the, just pull them and toss them.
I thought they pulled those.
No, they shelved them, but they're still in play. Yeah,
right.
They haven't been officially pulled. And so they fire her and do that and say, we're sorry. And then they'll just let the Hong Kong people kind of deteriorate. And there will, very slowly, the Chinese will move their financial centers to Shanghai, where they want them to be, not in Hong Kong. And then they wait till 2047 when Hong Kong's fully incorporated into the mainland, and that'll be that.
So the airports are closed now. They keep on opening and closing. The casinos are taking a hit.
This made a big difference. This is causing trouble.
Yeah.
By the way, the other thing that could happen is the People's Republic Army can go marching in. But the problem with that is that October is the big, I think, the 70th anniversary of the People's Republic is the big giant anniversary. And they don't want to get into a jackpot just before that. So nothing's going to happen until then, at least.
There's a lot of unrest. Listen, when I was in South Africa, on the way back, when I was getting the plane from Cape Town to Johannesburg.
Isn't Cape Town a cute little town?
It's a cute little town, except for the townships, which are shanty towns of.
Well, that's all over Africa.
This is horrible. Mm. What's going on there? It was so bad. What was going on when I was leaving that we had to
in
be
in Hong Kong?
In Cape Town.
Okay.
They had to reroute me because they were stopping cars, pulling people out of cars and throwing rocks at cars.
Oh yeah. You don't want to go through that road.
Yeah. And the army went in there today. Huh. So I was out just in the nick of time.
Out just in time.
Just done. A couple of things. Luxury home prices across 46 major cities grew at an anemic 1.4% in the second quarter of this year compared to a year ago. So this obviously.
You don't want those things skyrocketing in value.
It must be
destabilizing because you can't sell them when they get too expensive.
Right. They hit that equilibrium point where they get to be where nobody buys them and everybody's trying to sell them and then everything starts to settle out, which is, I guess, what's happening. I got to bring up Facebook again. I am so sick of this company. Is everybody else sick of this company like I am? The shenanigans these guys? No, they're not.
You.
It's just me.
It's what it looks like to me.
So now the latest news that came out today, and this is a report from Bloomberg, is that it paid contractors to transcribe user audio. It confirmed that it has been transcribing user audio and said it will no longer do so. We paused the human review of audio more than a week ago. The company said the users who were affected chose the option in Facebook's Messenger app to have their voices and voice chats transcribed. And supposedly these contractors have been checking into whether Facebook's artificial intelligence correctly interpreted the messages, which were supposedly made anonymous and anonymized. But it just gets deeper and deeper and deeper into these guys trying to just, there is no privacy there. Do we agree with that at least?
Yes.
And this company does everything. Did you see that movie, The Great Heist? It's on Netflix. All about the, the Facebook, what's the name of the company? You know, Cambridge Analytica.
Yeah.
That was a fascinating movie. I watched it on the plane. But aside from that, because that was kind of a little bit slanted one-sided to a bit.
Of course.
What else is Facebook doing? I mean, do you really think that they stopped selling your data?
No.
Stopped collecting your data?
Oh, they're collecting. They're packaging a different way, I'm sure.
Holding up their end of the bargain about their the privacy of user data for their use?
Seems unlikely.
Yeah, I know. It's some. All right. Anyway, and lastly, on this side of the show, it looks like there's a lot of research notes that have been coming out recently, and they seem to be souring. We have J.P. Morgan and Goldman, two major firms, both out. J.P. Morgan was out with like, we have no idea why the market is at this level, or how it can sustain at this level. Or anywhere near here, they were citing the latest earnings season and how nobody was up in on average upping their guidance to anywhere levels that were even reasonable, considering any kind of metric to make the markets go higher or even be at these levels here. Goldman was like, okay, that's it, you're done. At the end of the year, you know, you're not making any more money for the end of the year. So we're starting to see more and more of this all of a sudden. So I don't know if that's going to be. They're going to be right, or they're going to cause themselves to be right, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah. It's like the gentleman's agreement, only in a different form.
Yep. So, by the way, if you want to hear more about our various meeting, eating, and feeding exposés, of course, you can help us out by donating to the show over on dhunplugged.com. Just go there, click on the little yellow button or whatever color it may be. It changes sometimes. And just click donate. And whatever you can do, whether it's going to be a monthly subscription, we have a new non-sneaker podcast as a service feature.
Podcast as a service.
Yeah, podcast as a service.
P-A-O-S. No, P-A-A-S.
P-A-A-S, pause. Podcast as a service. You can go over to their to the website and just click on and put, you know, $5, $10, $20 a month, whatever it may be, or donate. It would be very helpful to us as we are hopefully entertaining and bringing you some of the greatest financial education, information, insights, and a couple of laughs or two.
Exactly.
Yeah. There's a dilemma on scooters. Seems that these scooter companies that are invading everywhere around the world forgot that not every street is paved well. And this could lead to little problems with the little wheels on the scooters.
Oh yeah. Those little wheels are dangerous.
Right. So if you hit a pothole with you have a gigantic wheel, just a gigantic wheel, and you hit a pothole, I don't care how big it is. Whatever. Little hiccup, right?
Yeah.
You hit a hole going 15 miles an hour with this little, I don't know, what is it?
Those things go 40.
Yeah, but they do go fast. I don't think they're 40. They go like 20, I think. That which feels like 40 on those things. And you get this, how big is the wheel? 6 inch? No, let's see. It's maybe 4 inches in diameter, 5 inches in diameter.
They're not big. They're just little scooter wheels.
you hit a bump in the street. You hit a little pothole or a little, even a big rock for that matter. You're going head over heels.
Yeah. A lot of people do.
So you have this in Europe with all the cobbled streets.
Oh, this is not possible to drive on a cobbled street with one of those things.
So there's all sorts of been problems because these scooters and the people on them are just getting wrecked. So it's a whole big problem with the scooters, which hopefully will just get rid of them. They're annoying.
Let's just hope it's a fad.
I think it is a fad because you don't see as many. You see a lot more scooters doing nothing than being ridden on in my area.
Yeah.
Amazon, have you been checking? Have we talked about this? I don't know if we talked about this. The Amazon pill pack.
Have we talked? I don't know anything about the pill pack.
Oh, no. This is one of those Amazon things. You're like, yep. This is why you love this company. So there's a company called Pill Pack. They bought, I'll say a year ago, about give or take, for I think probably the round number that everybody seems to buy a company for $1 billion, right?
Yeah.
This company was a mail order prescription service for prescription drugs. But they have some really cool stuff. Like, for example, let's say you take a barrage of, as you get old, six different pills throughout the day and throughout the week. And let's say on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, you're supposed to take one pill in the morning, and on Tuesday, Thursday, you take the other three in the afternoon. You know, this whole thing, right? This regimen that you got to do. And what did people always do with that? You got those silly plastic daily reminder things that you put your pills in, right?
Yeah.
You know, the Monday, the afternoon, evening, and all this stuff, right? And, you know, you hopefully take them, and if you hopefully fill it up correctly, what they have is you give them your pills, your prescriptions, and the regimen that you're supposed to be taking these on, and they send these back to you, date stamped, in little packets, little square white packets, with all your pills in there, with the date, the time, and what's in each package. So you just look at it, you see the time, you open it up, you take your pills.
That's a great idea.
How great is that? Especially for older people.
Yeah, well, especially after you get a certain age, you start just, did I take those pills?
Right.
If they're in a jar, you know, I take them.
I think there's probably some apps with it, too, if you can scan it, that you took it. And then there's a whole bunch of other things also going on. Well, one of the things that obviously is happening, and CVS and Walgreens are like, uh-oh, there's a problem. Because obviously, because it's done through Amazon, it's a very cheap way to go as well. Well, one of the things is that you can, if you would like to, transfer your prescriptions over to PillPack. You could sign a form and request that your transfer of your prescriptions goes to PillPack, and it just goes all through that, right? The problem is that CVS and Walgreens are not happy about this. So they're rejecting an inordinate amount of these things.
Oh, so they refuse to transfer the prescription?
Yeah, that they never got it. Supposedly, there's reports.
I never got it. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yep, they're supposedly throwing the stuff.
Yeah, I'll show you what douchebags they are to begin with.
Right, throwing the request forms in the garbage, shredding them. Gotta love
that's
that,
funny.
Huh? Yep. And finally, for this segment, we have to congratulate the Lithuanian couple who won the World Wife Carrying Championship.
Ah.
For the second time in a row.
She must be a waif and he must be a big bruiser.
Yeah, there's a picture of it somewhere. I found it, but it was done in the Finnish town of Sukanjärvi on Saturday. And they triumphed in the contest where the men complete an obstacle course with their wives slung over their shoulders. Only in Europe. Before we get to the game and all that, any comments at all on, I know that I put a few pictures of my safari on Twitter, and pretty much everybody said they liked it, aside from one fella who said first it was staged, and then it also looked like it was in the San Diego Zoo. You know who that was, right?
No.
Yeah, no. But did you like any of the pictures I sent you this evening?
Well, the ones you sent now are definitely not staged or in the San Diego Zoo.
Yeah.
You got some gutted animal being chewed to death in the top of a tree by a cheetah. It's gruesome.
Yeah, it was great.
And a pretty bird.
Yeah. That was a...
There's a lot of pretty birds in Africa, let me tell
you. This was a lavender... I think it was called a lavender-breasted roller. Mm. They do some kind of rolling thing. So some cool hornbills as well.
There's a lot of pretty birds. But there's so many birds in Africa. I think that's I don't think I've noticed when I was there, because it could be the time of the year. It could be a lot of different things. But I remember seeing very few flying insects in the cities.
Yeah, that's a good point. I didn't even on the safari, there was hardly any. I mean, it was cold there. But
I think it's the birds. I think the birds are just
maybe
wiping these things out.
There was a good
There's
amount.
A lot of bugs on the ground.
A lot of bugs on the ground. A lot of termite mounds. Big, big termite mounds.
Yeah.
So, anyway, let's pick this up here. This is a game that we play. It's not a solicitation to buy or sell any security. It's not a recommendation of any kind. Nothing on the show should be considered investment advice or a recommendation. If you choose to invest in any of the stocks mentioned, you should know that it may carry risk, along with the risk of a loss of principal. You should also seek out professional financial advice for your particular situation. We assume no risk, as these are not to be considered recommendations. Horowitz Company, myself, or John C. Dvorak may invest in any of the securities mentioned, and we'll disclose that on the website under the weekly stock picks section. You can go to dhunplugged.com and see all the names we discuss in the segment, along with the performance information from the date discussed, as well as any additional important disclosures. So we got kicked out of a few things here. By the way, you can definitely check all these on a regular basis over on DH Unplugged. But we got kicked out of a lot of yellow here. Kicked off. See all that?
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, I mean, that's what happens. But still, the kickoffs, many of them, well, a couple of them were bad, but they still are holding up. And I got to tell you, your Aerojet Rocketdyne, which I just like saying that name so much, is still 46%.
Yeah, it's the best of the year so far.
And that was not, let me see something here.
It's an April 10th.
33, 15. Is this 45%? Yeah, 15. That's what it is, 45%. And that's just amazing. It's just amazing. But a lot of things got kicked off here. Veru up 28% kicked.
Well, your church and Dwight's still on there, too.
Yeah.
It's kind of a rubbery idea.
Ah.
No, no good. Sorry.
You know, you're speaking about these kind of things. Do you know they sell Viagra over the counter in London?
Do they? They yep. need it there.
I had a friend that asked me to buy it for him. So... This is a true story. So went to the airport to the Boots.
Buy it himself.
He didn't go to London, and he's not going to be there. He said, "Would you buy me some?" So I had to go to the counter, and I said, "I'd like to buy some Viagra." Oh, okay. You know, and then of course the hey Joe, this guy wants to buy Viagra.
Yeah, of course. Hey Connor Six, does anybody know the current price of Viagra? This guy here, what's your name? Andrew wants to buy some.
Yeah. So I go up to the thing. This and truly, it doesn't matter. I don't care what you think, but it was for a friend. But I go up there, and sir, have you ever bought Viagra from us before? No, I haven't. He said, "Sir, you do have erectile dysfunction, don't you?" I'm like, "Yes." You know, I gotta answer all these questions.
Well, they've got to grill you. That's funny. Maybe your friend is just a joker.
And then I had to go through this whole thing with him. Okay, sir, if you have an erection for more than 4 hours, you have to go seek this. And then if this happens, have you ever had shortness of breath? Have you ever had this when you're having sex? This whole thing. And I had to go through this whole
liability.
And then I had then they give me a little thing. Okay, then they give you all these check boxes that I got to go through, you know, yes or no's. And you could see that the check boxes are aligned in such a way and color-coded in such a way that if you answer any of them incorrectly, they're going to boot you from the whole deal, right? So you just go down to the right colors and say, yes, that's me, that's me, that's me, that's me, you know, yes. So he says, here's your card. Anytime you need it, there it is. Just bring it back to us and we'll be happy to. My name wasn't there. I'm not registered on anything. You know, nothing. It was the weirdest discussion.
That sounds like a bunch of bull crap.
But it was like $40 for 8 pills.
That's, yeah. I think that's probably reasonable.
Yeah. But so, and my wife's sitting there waiting for me the whole time. And I'm like, oh, this is, yeah, kind of funny. Anyway, Church and Dwight is on there. What else got kicked here? AES got kicked for Even Steven.
Everything got kicked.
Yeah, pretty much. TBT got kicked. It was up for a while. BioMarin got kicked. Netflix is still on the short side, 14.75% up.
Yeah, you did well there. I didn't expect that.
What else we got here? So I'm going to add shorting the NASDAQ.
That's probably a good idea.
With the SQQQ on that's a triple levered short. On the NASDAQ.
Yeah.
And then I put on...
Big plunger.
Yeah. Let's see here. Let's just make this right. I put for you on here. Tell me if you want this, but ARGT.
Yes. Yes, I want to go long.
Okay. So that's, what's the 8, 14, 19, 468. And that's reversal play. And that's you. JCD. All right, what else you got?
I'm going to go long. This is just an insider thing. And the chart, the way the chart looks, I think maybe. Dish Network.
Really? D-I-S-H, enter. And that one is chart. Chart action.
Chart. Well, chart and insiders. Insiders, big buy.
Chart insiders.
So it's chart/insiders.
Yeah, got it. Okay, got it. Got it, got it. Okay, good.
Got nothing else.
All right.
Zip.
All right. Well, so just to end the story, I'll send you the Viagra.
Okay. That's funny.
All right. I'll see you next week.
Okay, bye.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, because I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pockets, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a man. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, because I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.